Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Since South Africa became a democracy in 1994, the country has achieved success on sports fields globally. Its rugby team, nicknamed the Springboks, has won two World Cups. Its soccer squad, nicknamed Bafana Bafana, has won the Africa Cup of Nations and has competed in three World Cups. Soccer, rugby, and cricket are indeed the most popular sports in South Africa. However, Statistics South Africa, a state organization that monitors trends in the country, says participation in fringe pursuits is spiking. Darren Taylor reports on one of these in the first part of a series on some of South Africa's latest sporting passions.
A sweating boxer punches a bag inside the Top Box gym in northern Johannesburg. On its walls are faded photos of boxing legends like Mike Tyson and local fight heroes including former lightweight world champ Dingaan Tobela. Ex-professional boxer Stephen Castle says when he opened Top Box 18 years ago, it was the only boxing fitness facility in South Africa. Now they're springing up across the country.
I think people are drawn to boxing because it's a cheap way of training that's effective. You don't need fancy equipment. You don't need this big leg press machines and these heavy weights and fancy treadmills and stepping machines.
One of his clients, body therapist Michelle Katsavas, says traditional workouts bore her and boxing's exciting.
It's great fun. You know, it's exercise, but it isn't. You don't really think about it at the time you're doing it. That's really why I do it.
Castle's training space is simple. A rudimentary boxing ring, skipping ropes, and a few punch bags. But as the brawny bald man says, a little goes a long way.
It increases your muscle tone. It makes you stronger where you're weaker. The routine is the routine. If you need to lose weight, you'll lose weight. Boxing will fix your body. It'll put it where it should be and correct it. That's what it does.
The trainer says unlike many other ways to get fit, boxing exercises the upper and lower body at the same time and bolsters the mind.
What I do give you is I give you the ability to believe in yourself, to have confidence in your own ability, and then the strength to know that you can defend yourself.
Katsava says her boxing skills make her feel less vulnerable on Johannesburg's mean streets.
It definitely helps in terms of how to punch correctly. And to be aware of your stance, your positioning, and also your inner strength.
But she says misconceptions about fitness boxing abound, and when she tells people she boxes, they're usually surprised.
Well, they think it's a bit rough, which it isn't. They automatically think that you get in the ring and spar, and it's not like that at all. It's boxer size, so no, it's great.
70, 60, 70, 80, 90, 20, up. Okay, 1-2-1. Let's go. 1-2-1. Straight into it. Quick.
Castle helps a boxer work out. He says those unfamiliar with boxing think it's nothing more than brutality. Tough men from poor backgrounds pounding one another. But Castle's clientele shatters this cliche.
One of our biggest membership bases has been women, not the tough, aggressive type of people. They recognize what boxing does for them in terms of fitness, in terms of strength, in terms of confidence. Boxing, I think, has become a sport for everybody.
Diverse people indeed visit his gym.
We've got a 62-year-old lady that's been coming here for years. Attorneys, One of the guys we just said hello to now was a CEO of a multi-millionaire company. We've got all types. We've got students, we've got schoolboys.
The Filipino crowd chanting for Pacquiao.
TV footage of great contests of the past inspires Zimbabwean pro boxer Shepherd Musiiwa. He's one of Castle's trainers.
Most of my clients which I train, they're businessmen. They come here, they train like early in the morning, and then they go and then they run their business. I train them out, they look good. They come here, they're having big bellies, but now they're in shape now, they look good. Great.
Castle also organizes white collar tournaments where his trainees can box for real.
They start sparring and they want to know what it feels like to get into a ring with another guy. They like to see what it feels like to fight somebody. Guys, they train 2 or 3 times a week now. We're going to get into a ring on a night, put on gloves, and fight somebody they don't know.
But as Katsava says, most people box simply to get and stay fit.
We all enjoy a good party and a good drink, so this is exactly why we come here.
Boxing to burn calories after a heavy night out may not be many people's idea of a good time. But for growing numbers in South Africa, that's exactly what it is. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
In more boxing news, our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta, says one heavyweight we should keep our eyes on during 2017 is unbeaten Izu Ugono. The 30-year-old Ugono was born in Poland to Nigerian parents, and that's where he gets his nickname from, the Black Pole. Ugono has won all 17 of his prize fights with 14 knockouts. Namdi says the Black Pole has a big test on February 25th when he fights on the undercard of the Deontay Wilder-Gerald Washington WBC heavyweight title main event in the southern U.S. city of Birmingham, Alabama. Izu Ugono will go against American Dominic Brazil, who was knocked out in the 7th round last year by IBF heavyweight champion Anthony Joshua in London. It was Brazil's first loss after 17 wins. Izu Ugono's trainer, Kevin Berry, says fighting in the Birmingham spotlight on February 25th will be an excellent opportunity to introduce Izu to American boxing fans. Baseball may be known as the American pastime, but it's gained considerable popularity in parts of Asia and Latin America. And now the sport is gaining ground on another continent, Africa. Lenny Ruvaga reports for the Sunny Side of Sports from Kikuyu, outside Kenya's capital, Nairobi, on the country's largest little league.
The Kilimanjaro All-Stars run drills before a much-anticipated game.
Balance! 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 Jump! Go on jumping! While your legs are on toes! On toes and go on jumping!
Team captain Kelly Lemayen is one of the shortest members on the team and one of the youngest at just 12 years old. But he commands respect on the baseball diamond. He plays shortstop.
I like it because it is a very wonderful game and I like it. It gives me discipline. Discipline just can help me. It helps me because if I have discipline at school, even in the baseball, I have discipline.
Sense, sense, sense. Club 7 Heat.
This is Kenya's Little League Baseball. There are four organizations around Kenya running baseball programs, but this is the largest. The league started 3 years ago and draws players from 50 local schools. Equipment is donated by two US-based nonprofits, Angels at Bat and American Friends of Kenya. Chapman Owino coaches the Kilimanjaro All-Stars.
Loud and proud.
One, two, three. One, two, three.
The team draws teens from impoverished backgrounds.
Somewhere over the weekends, they were selling scraps, moving around the town. But made them busy. They are now more responsible even at home. That's why you see even the parents are supporting my program. The parents are supporting me. Yeah, asking so-and-so in the field. You see, that means something has changed. Even their brain capacity, you see, even their performance in school now is very fantastic.
Today, the Kilimanjaro All-Stars are pitted against the Alliance High School Batmen. Batmen team manager Patrick Ascendi says baseball is catching on in Kenya. Finding qualified coaches is the biggest challenge.
Some of us have to go to YouTube and learn the game. We have to wait for visitors to come, especially from the Baseball Federation, when they're coming and bringing in coaches, so they're able to help us.
But in Kenya, can baseball really give football and athletics a run for their money? The president of the Little League, George Mahinda, certainly thinks so.
We need to diversify beyond athletics. Kenya, we are known for athletics, which means when you go to baseball, we are going to beat the rest of the world because we are already good in running aloud the field.
The Kilimanjaro All-Stars win the game, beating the Batmen 10-7. But the team is eyeing bigger titles. No Kenyan team has ever played in the Little League World Series held every year in the United States. The Kilimanjaro All-Stars aim to be the first. Lenny Ruvaga for the Sunny Side of Sports, reporting from Kikuyu.
Voice of America.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
After listening to Lenny Ruvaga's report, some of our Voice of America listeners might be wondering, Sonny, when does Major League Baseball's spring training officially begin? Well, spring training is right around the corner here in the USA. Pitchers and catchers report next week for all the Major League clubs, and position players report a few days after that. The Chicago Cubs were the big story in Major League Baseball last year, as well as one of the big sports stories of 2016. The Cubs beat the Cleveland Indians 4-3 to win their first World Series title in 108 years. The International Association of Athletics Federations, or IAAF, is upholding its global ban on Russian athletes and freezing all nationality switches. Following a council meeting in Monaco, IAAF President Sebastian Coe said Russian athletics should not expect full reinstatement before November. The decision rules out Russia competing at the World Championships in August in London. IAAF Task Force Chairman Rune Anderson adds that although there have been productive meetings with Russian officials, many conditions have not been met for full reinstatement. In December 2016, World Anti-Doping Agency investigator Richard McLaren published the second part of his report into state-sponsored doping in Russia. He listed hundreds of failed drug tests which were allegedly covered up in Russia, including in disability sports. The Russian government and Russian athletics have denied any state support for doping. At a news conference in Moscow Tuesday, Russian Track Federation Vice President Andrei Silnov denied there was a culture of doping in his country. In his words, and I quote, "We are slowly proving that this is not like that. There are no concrete grounds, no concrete facts." In African football news, Ghana's Israeli coach Avram Grant is stepping down after more than 2 years in charge of the Black Stars. The 62-year-old Grant led the Black Stars to a fourth-place finish at the recent Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Gabon. He also guided Ghana to the final of the 2015 Nations Cup in Equatorial Guinea, where the Black Stars lost on penalty kicks to neighbor Ivory Coast. Avram Grant was hired by the Ghana Football Association in late November 2014. He says he met with GFA President Kwesi Nyantachi and informed him, and I quote, "The time is right for me to move on to a new challenge." Grant adds that he hugely enjoyed his time in Ghana, as well as the passion and loyalty of fans of the Black Stars. He says that loyalty and passion is something he'll always remember. Joining us once again here in Studio 22 for a look at sports social media trends is my VOA colleague, Doug Bernard. Sporty greetings, Doug.
Hello, hello. Sporty greetings.
Welcome back, Doug. What's trending out there?
Well, before we get to what people are talking about on social media, you've already mentioned one of the stories, in fact, that we'll get to in a moment. I just wanted to take a quick moment and issue a correction of sorts. Now, I don't know if I ever said in talking about the Super Bowl and Tom Brady and whatnot that I think I always framed it as he's the first quarterback in NFL history to win five Super Bowl victories. Now, I may have said accidentally he's the first player in NFL history.
Okay.
That's not true. Actually, there's one player and only one player before Tom Brady who won five Super Bowl rings. He's not a quarterback. He's something of a journeyman, a linebacker, defensive end. His name is Charles Lewis Haley. He's got an interesting story. Just very quickly to go over it. He was first drafted in 1986. He grew up in Virginia. He was not recruited by a lot of the big colleges, so he took a scholarship at a local college here, James Madison.
Okay.
University, played there, was a something of seen as kind of an unlikely draft in the NFL, but draft he was. He went on to play for two teams actually, the 49ers, the Dallas Cowboys, and then again the San Francisco 49ers, and he won five Super Bowl championships. Let's see, 23, 24, 27, 28, and 30. Pretty good. Played five times in the Pro Bowl and has gone on to continue a career sort of working around football. He's helping younger players with whatever challenges they're facing on several teams and working just kind of a goodwill ambassador. So there you go. A little bit, and maybe appropriate for Black History Month, Charles Lewis Haley, born 1964, good year to be born, also a member of the Five Ring Club.
A super tidbit there, Doug, and you mentioned Black History Month. Let me give a plug to my colleague James Buddy during the month of February. James has a Black History Month segment that he airs during his Daybreak Africa radio show, heard right here on the Voice of America. So, yeah, check out James's Daybreak Africa for some Black History Month. Very informative, very fun, and educational.
Will do.
What else is trending out there, Doug?
Well, one of the stories that's trending has a lot of people talking on social media is something that you've already mentioned. The IAAF, that's the organization that oversees, the governing body that oversees international track and field competition, said the Russia ban still in place at least until November. Now, there are two exceptions. Russian athletes under the age of 15 years of age will be allowed to compete as, quote, neutral individuals.
Interesting.
Yes,
okay.
And they figure they're too young to have been kind of pulled up in all this. And also, competitors with long histories of clean drug tests will be allowed, again, to apply to participate neutrally. What that means is they themselves can participate, but none of the credit, nothing goes to Russia. Now, a lot of people, you'd think, well, they would be sort of happy about this. It looks like sport is trying to clean itself up. But there's a number of people who are very unhappy about what this may mean. So, for example, Ethiopia has said that it may jail athletes who test positive. And Kara Goucher on Twitter, she says, she writes, "This, as much as I'm against doping, I feel this is very wrong. Sending an athlete to jail? What about those who supplied the drugs in the first place?" So interesting question there. Don't know if other nations are considering that as well. There are also some concerns following a BBC report that Lord Coe, Lord Sebastian Coe, who heads that governing body, the IAAF, may have had some earlier knowledge about the Russian doping program than he initially let on. And of course, he came out Monday in Monaco and made a very strong statement. People are kind of really turning it around on him, saying he has a lot to answer for himself rather than just pointing fingers. Here's Dr. Rosena Alin Khan. She's saying World Athletics is going through a very serious doping scandal, and Lord Coe has questions to answer as well. Here's somebody, again, on Twitter. Cade Rowe writes, "Also remember that a bit of an example of how politics injects itself." Cade Rowe writes, "Also, remember Russian state-sponsored doping was by Putin. There's going to be tremendous pressure from Trump to undermine the World Athletic Anti-Doping Association." So people taking their digs at the president there. Just a quick one related item. The AP is reporting, you know, there were all those athletes, 18 medalists that were disqualified, Russian athletes from the 2008-2012 when they went back and redid the doping bans. So far, the number of Olympic medals that stripped from Russian athletes that have been returned, zero.
Zero,
exactly zero. Some of the players saying, well, they want to see how this plays out. Some of them just saying, hey, we won the medal, I want to keep the medal. That's going to put them in a bit of a bind if they want to come back and compete in the Olympics in the future as well.
Doug, you mentioned Lord Sebastian Coe, the president of the IAAF. I mentioned how he said that the Russians, as things now stand, will not be competing at the World Championships in August. This cloud of doping in a World Championships year can't be good for Coe or the IAAF.
No, it is not good for either him as an individual or the organization, and really the sport as well. And it's, you know, just judging, I didn't bring in a lot of tweets. Many of them were in Cyrillic, but, you know, a lot of Russians really very, very upset about this ban, this continuing ban. It just kind of perpetuating just some bad feelings and a bad taste that's lingering in people's mouths.
Doug, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. What else is trending out there, Doug?
One quick one in the couple minutes just remaining. So you may have heard that Patriots, the New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, his jersey, his game-worn jersey, has gone missing. So there's Texas police are out on the they're called the Rangers down there. Texas police are called the Rangers. There's NFL security. There's state and other local police agencies. Everybody's hunting for this jersey. You might just think, it's just a jersey. But, you know, these things have tremendous sentimental value, of course. And, you know, on the market, look, the jersey that Tom Brady wore,
I would think thousands and thousands of dollars.
Oh, easily. heck, I've paid several hundred dollars for jerseys that didn't come anywhere near that close. So very quickly, people are responding on Twitter. There's already a Twitter account, Tom Brady's jersey, which is tweeting about where it may be. And here's another tweet, Michael Berry sending out, "Texas Lieutenant Governor asked the Texas Rangers to find the stolen jersey from Brady's locker. That'll be the first Texas Ranger to ever hold a championship jersey," referring, of course, to the baseball team that plays down in Houston. So people having some fun with it. I know Tom Brady's disappointed, but I imagine at some point it's going to turn up.
VOA's Doug Bernard. Thank you, Doug. And that wraps up the February 7th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States is working closely with Nigeria to improve efficiencies in the vital oil sector. The U.S. Commercial Service Nigeria sponsored a single company promotion event in Lagos on January 26th that focused on strengthening the skills of process operators working in Nigeria's refinery and chemical industry, said United States Agency for International Development, or USAID, Mission Director Michelle Godet. The event launched a new training simulation solution by New Jersey-based Simulation Solutions Incorporated. Simulation Solutions is a leading provider of PC-based dynamic simulation training programs for process operators in the refinery and chemical industries, as well as for government and academia. The company's INSTO five-step process technology operator training for professionals has been used by downstream oil firms all over the world to improve plant efficiency. U.S. Consul General John Bray said in his opening remarks that for Nigeria to overcome its current economic challenges, it must find ways to diversify its economy while improving firm-level productivity. He encouraged participants to actively engage with simulation solutions to improve their organization's bottom-line profitability. Over 60 representatives from across Nigeria's petrochemical sector, including officers from Nigeria's National Oil Company, regulatory agencies, as well as professionals drawn from private refineries, training institutes, and academia, learned how companies can effectively operate their plants without accidents and downtime, saving costs and improving profitability. U.S. Commercial Service Counselor Brent Omdahl anchored the event. Audience participants expressed keen interest in establishing a partnership with Simulation Solutions and in adapting the simulator training program to their individual operations. Academic speakers encouraged a gradual introduction of the training program into technical and executive skills curricula. In the coming months, the U.S. Commercial Service in Nigeria will continue to support Simulation Solutions and its Nigeria partners as they roll out training programs at interested organizations across the country. The United States is proud to work with its partner Nigeria to promote trade that benefits the U.S., Nigeria, and the world.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Linor Moudou. Please join me live every Tuesday at 17:30 UTC in VOA's health program, Health Chat. Hear from doctors, nurses, international experts discussing the health issues of your concern. Health Chat puts listeners directly in touch with medical professionals. You can talk to them live for free or email your questions. Health Chat brings the medical professionals to your home.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, an in-depth look at the northern Nigeria-based terrorist group Boko Haram. The militant group has targeted both Muslims and Christians, killing more than 20,000 people since 2009. VOA has exclusively obtained secret video shot by Boko Haram that identifies its operatives committing acts of terror. We'll discuss the violent organization on the next Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.